Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hi, this is Chris Connell, and I am filling in for Steve today. And I call Steve my equally obnoxious friend, or I call him my equally obnoxious friend. I am a friend of Steve's, and Steve is, they've got a death in their family, and so we're praying for them. And we had the privilege yesterday, and I say we, my 18-year-old media protege, Olivia is with us. So, Olivia, say hello to the Steve Noble listeners.
Hello.
All right. So, Olivia, what's the topic today we're covering?
Physician-assisted suicide.
Yes. And we have an incredible guest, and you may not know this, but did you know that there are 10 states in the United States of America that have legalized physician-assisted suicide? So we're talking about end-of-life issues here, euthanasia. And this is an important topic. It's an important topic in an election year to keep in mind as well. If you have a question, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, you can call in now. And Keith in the studio will take and put your question up here, and we'll try to get that answered. You can also go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook Live, make a comment there, and we'll try to answer it as well. I'm very excited about our guest. He is a well-versed individual on this topic. He is the CEO Emeritus of Christian Medical Dental Association. Dr. Stevens, welcome to the Steve Noble Show.
It's great to be with you, Chris. Thanks for the invite.
Well, you have quite the accolades. I was looking at that. First off, you have 10 grandchildren, it says, and they're all involved in domestic or international health care ministry. Is that true?
That's true, yes. We were missionaries in Kenya, and I think the genes penetrated through to them. We have a daughter in Muslim North Africa with her husband, a dentist, and their kids. And then my other daughter and her husband, a physician, have been in Iraq. And then my son is very involved in domestic healthcare missions in the inner city. So, yeah.
Wow. And any more grandchildren on the way, Dr. Stevens?
We have one coming April 1st, number 11, so...
All right. So there's positive peer pressure in that family to get involved in healthcare ministry, it sounds like.
Well, they had a lot of role modeling as they were young, and as they were raised overseas, they just loved the opportunity that provides to share the gospel and also to be the hands of Jesus to people in physical need.
Wow. Dr. Stevens, on top of being a family physician, you have a master's in ethics, bioethics, from Trinity International University. You are the fellow of the Biotechnology Policy Council, the Wilberforce Forum. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds impressive, Dr. Stevens. And then you've got you're a part of that. You helped found the National Embryo Donation Center, which is amazing. You're an author of Jesus MD Beyond Medicine and co-author of Leadership Proverbs and Servant Leadership. So you're a busy guy. Dr. Stevens, I had the privilege, and you and I have a mutual friend in Craig and Amy Fowler, who are involved in a local CMDA. And before we get any further, could you just explain to the Steve Noble Show listeners what CMDA is? Because I'm sure many do not know.
Yeah. Christian Medical and Dental Association has been around since 1931, and its mission is to motivate, train, and equip Christian healthcare professionals to glorify God. We have about 19,000 members across the United States, probably involved with about 35,000 healthcare professionals. We work with students on campuses, medical schools, dental schools, physical therapy schools across the country. We're very involved in missions. We have a lot of our members that are career missionaries overseas. We do short-term missions, long-term missions, educational missions, support services for missionaries, helping mission organizations with recruitment. And then we're involved in public policy, and that's to be our voice for our members, busy docs across the United States and other healthcare professionals, to be their voice in Washington at the state level. And we've been very involved in physician-assisted suicide since I first started as the CEO of CMDA back in 1994 when Oregon was considering this, and have been involved in this battle and helping to delay it in many states and to keep it from coming in to many more.
You have a national convention coming up in about 8 weeks, I understand?
We do, and it's open to healthcare professionals and their spouses. It's in Cincinnati, Ohio, April 16th through the 19th. If people want information, they can go to cmda.org. Great time of fellowship, spiritual growth, getting to talk about some very important issues, and it's a great convention.
So, Dr. Stevens, I didn't know until I was sitting in a CMDA event, and I was listening to one of the leadership from CMDA talk about euthanasia. And they started talking about eugenics, and they started about euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. And as I'm listening, it dawned on me as a pastor, as my day job, that this is a really prevalent issue now, but it's really flying under the radar. I don't hear anybody talking about it a whole lot. And yet, according to what I understand in the little bit of research I've done just today, this is mandated by state law in 9 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, that's where it's been legalized. And every year there's 25 to 30 states where they're attempting to do that, including North Carolina. That's happened in years past, and it'll be on the agenda again pretty soon there. So this is a very relevant issue, but it's going to affect not only you as an individual, but your loved ones and people that you know, your friends.
I'm going to assume this, but I think it'd be good to ask you, what is the official stance of CMDA on the issue of euthanasia, end-of-life issues, physician-assisted suicide?
Yeah, we're obviously opposed to it, and the Bible tells us to do that, and then as healthcare professionals, we know this is the antithesis to providing good care. The foundation of the doctor-patient relationship is trust, and this isn't a new idea. Back before Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, over 2,000 years, doctors both cured and killed. The trouble was you didn't know which they were going to do to you. If somebody paid them more, they would give you a lethal dose and nobody be the wiser. And that's how the Hippocratic Oath came about, that you will do no harm and that you will not provide a lethal prescription, even ask for it. So this is not a new idea. It's something that's cycled back around, and it's going to affect us all.
Stay tuned. We're with Dr. David Stevens on The Steve Noble Show, Physician-Assisted Suicide. We're back. This is The Steve Noble Show with guest host Chris Connell and the lovely and talented Olivia.
Hey.
That's it? We're just going to get a hey?
Yeah.
All right. My 18-year-old daughter... And she's not available, ever.
I'm apparently becoming a nun.
Yes!
One of us is going to be disappointed with the outcome of that one. And it's not going to be me.
It's going to be you.
Not going to be me.
So today, Olivia, we're talking about what?
Physician-assisted suicide.
All right. And who is our guest?
Dr. David Stevens.
Yep. He is the CEO Emeritus of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, and he's going to talk with us today about physician-assisted suicide. Dr. Stevens, thank you so much for taking time to be on the air with us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
So at the end of the last segment, you were talking about the Hippocratic Oath, and if you'd be so gracious, for those who aren't in medicine or aren't familiar with that, what is that? Because every time I hear Christian healthcare professionals talk about this issue, the Hippocratic Oath comes up.
Yeah, the Hippocratic Oath is the foundation of Western medicine. It's one of the reasons we've been so successful with healthcare, because what it is a establishment of trust, not only with the patient, but with their colleagues. Back in the day when Hippocrates lived, you had to take an oath before your teachers, before your fellow future physicians, and the community, saying that I will only use this information that I'm being taught, which is very powerful. You can kill with it or you can cure with it, for good. And in that oath, it says, I will neither give a deadly drug to anybody who asks for it, nor will I make a suggestion to this effect. And the whole principle of first do no harm. And it also, there's a Christian doctor's oath that we administer to students today, very similar, but you take this oath before God. It's called covenantal medicine. Unfortunately, we're moving toward the business model of medicine, not the covenant bottle of medicine. But I promise before God that I'm going to do this, and the old oath said, if not, let the gods strike me dead. And that assured patients that you were only going to do what was in their best interest, you weren't going to share information that they gave you, that you were not going to take sexual advantage of them, all sorts of things, including the fact that you wouldn't help them take their lives.
All right. For more information on CMDA, you can go to CMDA.org and see their position statement. Dr. Stevens, their statement is that they are not pro-physician-assisted suicide, obviously. Olivia's got a question for you. Go ahead.
How does physician-assisted suicide impact the relationship between physicians and patients?
Well, we mentioned that it destroys trust because it's always easier to help someone take their life than it is to, and cheaper than it is to provide cure. And so trust is one of the big issues. The other thing it makes it dangerous for physicians and their relationship with patients is it doesn't take great skill to kill. Good end-of-life care, compassionate care, is difficult with dying people, and it's an art, and it's something that you begin learning during training and you continue to perfect through your whole career. But the easy thing is just to hand them a handful of lethal pills. And the other problem with it in medicine is it gives physicians too much power. When we have convicted killers of multiple people and they're convicted and sentenced to death, there's multiple appeals, multiple opportunities if a mistake has been made before that sentence is ever carried out. And physician-assisted suicide, it's your doctor and one of his colleagues, one of his friends who says, yeah, I agree, and you can get a handful of lethal pills that will result in your death. So this is dangerous for healthcare in particular and for physicians and their relationship with patients because of all these factors.
Dr. Stevens, I grew up in the generation that I remember seeing Dr. Jack Kevorkian, in the news because he was a pathologist and a euthanasia proponent. And if I remember right, got in all kinds of trouble for assisting at least 130 patients in ending their life. And he had the media give him the name of Dr. Death. Something has happened because clearly now 10 states are saying it's legal. So what happened between Dr. Kevorkian and now that the mindset has started to change in our culture here?
Well, there's a number of reasons. One is verbal engineering. Back in Dr. Kevorkian's day, there was the Hemlock Society, which didn't sell too well in the media. So they began finding, you know, the right to die. Now the main proponent of this is an organization based in Oregon, the first state that legalized physician-assisted suicide, called Compassion and Choices. You can't be opposed to compassion. You can't be opposed to a choice. That's how the whole pro-choice movement and abortion happened. So they take these nice words and wrap them. It's like taking a wet cow patty out in the field and putting it in a nice box and putting a ribbon on it and nice-looking paper. It's still a cow patty, but that's how it's being sold, and they also do it through fear. You don't want to be hooked up to a bunch of machines and the doctor's not letting you die. You're just suffering. Well, that's not true. That doesn't happen. People can refuse any type of intervention in health care. But that's how they're selling this thing. And then they say it's kind of an insurance policy. You maybe never have to use it, but it's there in case you need it. If it gets too difficult, you've got this as an option and your doctor can give you a lethal prescription.
Is this seen as an extension of palliative care? Because I hear that terminology around the end of life. And are proponents of physician-assisted suicide saying that that's just a part of that care?
They are. And what they try to do when they're trying to sell something like this is to make it, to associate it with something good. So they're working really hard to get medical organizations to endorse physician-assisted suicide. And some have, thankfully not the American Medical Association yet, but it's being discussed, debated, and voted on now in the American Medical Association's national meetings. And so they do the same thing with palliative care. They're saying this is just part of this. You'd be interested to know, Chris, in Canada, where one legal case at their Supreme Court legalized it for the whole country less than 5 years ago. And now over thousands upon thousands of people are doing this, and they're trying to force all the hospice organizations in the country, saying that they will lose their federal funding if they do not allow physician-assisted suicide to happen in their hospice. And so it starts out of, let's tolerate that, then it moves to saying it's okay, then it moves to, we're going to force you to do it or you can't be in healthcare. They're even saying that Christian doctors in Canada could lose their licenses if they do not refer for it. If you don't refer for physician-assisted suicide, there will be a consequence. And referral causes moral complicity. If I refer you to another doctor for something, I'm endorsing their ethics and I'm endorsing their expertise, and I become complicit in what they're doing if they help you kill patients, just as you would be if you were referring for abortion.
So, Dr. Stevens, we're about just to go to a break here in a moment, but a couple of things that are in my mind, and one of them is, if Canada has done that, are you concerned as a physician in America that that day is coming for physicians in our country?
I have no doubt about it, because you look at Europe, where this started in Holland, and now you see it in Canada, and it goes from doing this for the terminally ill to doing it for the chronically ill, because this is based on suffering. We don't want you to suffer. Well, how do you measure suffering? And can't somebody with chronic disease suffer more than someone with terminal disease if they're going to have pain for years? This is an insidious thing that there's no logical place to draw the line once you okay it.
Dr. David Stevens talking about physician-assisted suicide. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough,
welcome back. This is the Steve Noble Show. Guest host Chris Connell filling in with my lovely daughter, Olivia. Say hello.
Hello.
And what topic are we covering today?
Physician-assisted suicide.
Yes. And we have the incredible Dr. David Stevens with us from CMDA, Christian Medical Dental Association. You go to cmda.org. An amazing man. He's an author, family physician, served in Kenya, a fellow of the Biotechnology Policy Council, the Wilberforce Forum. Sounds awesome. Don't know what that is. Helped found the National Embryo Donation Center. Has 10 grandchildren, one on the way. He has been in media interviews on USA Today, Newsweek, NBC's Today Show, NBC Nightly News. We're talking about physician-assisted suicide because it is now legal in 9 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. An option given to individuals by law in the District of Columbia, Hawaii, Maine, New Jersey, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. And it is an option given to individuals in Montana and California via court decisions. And in these cases, physicians cannot be prosecuted for prescribing medications to hasten death. Followers of Christ, who follow the Word of God, say that we're letting doctors play God. Dr. Stevens, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Good to be with you, Chris.
We are fascinated by this topic because I feel like it's an issue that is really... Do you get a sense as a physician that this is kind of under the radar of the church? Because personally, I don't hear a lot of people talking about this.
It's true, and it's been bannered around for 20, 25 years, and slowly legalization is taking place a few states every year. You know, and I think people don't understand how dangerous it is. We talked about it was dangerous for healthcare professionals, but it's also dangerous for families. Can you imagine going to the nursing home to see your mother or your father and their bed's empty, and you turn to the nurse and say, what happened to my loved one? They said, oh, didn't they tell you? Her doctor, his doctor helped them kill themselves last night. There is no obligation under the law in those nine states in the District of Columbia to inform family members that their loved one's even considering this. How would you feel? I mean, guilt, anger perhaps at the health system, guilt, did we not visit enough? Was she concerned about the money? What, you know, the sadness, suicide always leaves trauma in its path. Yeah. It also is a wide door to elder abuse.
Yeah, and Dr. Stevens, some people will be listening and saying, well, Dr. Stevens, that's a hypothetical situation, but it's not, is it?
It's not. It's happening already, and by the law, there's really nothing that a family member can do to stop loved ones from doing this. That's why it leads to dissension in families. I've talked to families where this has happened, and you know, the son was for it, the daughter was against it. I remember the daughter saying, "I'll never talk to my brother again because he pushed my parents into doing this." And elder abuse is a huge problem in this country, and this is a wide open path to more of it. There was an interesting article in California about this, and a 84-year-old woman said, "When I started losing my hearing about 3 years ago, it irritated my daughter, who she was living with, and she began to question me about financial matters and apparently feels I won't leave much of an estate to her. She became very rude, and then one evening she said she thought it was okay for older people to commit suicide. So I sit here day after day knowing what I'm expected to do." This type of thing can occur, and no one would know the difference because family members pushing an elderly person into this for their money or for some other reason.
This would be called involuntary euthanasia, correct?
It would. I mean, you can take your mother and take her there, and you can actually be the witness on the papers you have to sign, and you're a family member, but you have coerced them before you got them into the doctor's office and gotten them to say, yes, this is the best thing. So, yeah, there's voluntary, you get it with permission, involuntary euthanasia. Euthanasia means you're giving a lethal injection. Physician-assisted suicide means you're just prescribing pills that the person's going to take. And then involuntary, they can get permission, but they don't bother. The doctor just says, okay, you'd be better off dead. That's happening in Europe, a number of places, especially in Holland. One of the Christian doctors I know there had a lady in his church who was afraid to go to the hospital because they have euthanasia going on. And he assured her, I'll be there for you. I'll watch over. You need to work up. I'm going to put you in the hospital. And he took care of her during the week, took longer than he thought. On the weekend, he wasn't on call. Somebody else saw her, came in Monday morning, she was gone. She said, what happened to my patient? Oh, well, Dr. So-and-so gave her a lethal injection. She wasn't going to get better anyway, and we needed the bed.
You're kidding me.
Wow.
No.
That kind of takes my breath away.
Dr. Stevens, do you believe that all physicians will eventually be forced to act against the Hippocratic Oath and take part in euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide?
It's already happening on abortion, where doctors are coerced. Right of conscience is one of the biggest issues for Christians in healthcare. In fact, we have laws on the books to prevent it, but those laws do not have any teeth in them. And we had worked at the federal level to get Health and Human Services to put out new regulations to put teeth in the laws, saying that you can't force a nurse, which happened in Vermont, to participate in abortion. She was threatened that she would lose her license. And the head of their hospital was a former executive at Planned Parenthood. And unfortunately, when the regulations came out, 29 states, Planned Parenthood and the ACLU sued and got a restraining order, not a restraining order, but an injunction on keeping this from going into effect, and we're now appealing it to a higher court. So there are groups in abortion and physician-assisted suicide. They don't want to be made to look bad, so let's force everybody that disagrees with us out of health care.
Do you have a sense of hopelessness on this topic, Dr. Stevens, or do you have a sense that there are those that are standing up against this issue, have a platform to stand and a voice to be heard?
We still do. I'm not hopeless, and I remind, we teach doctors to deal with public policy. In fact, we have the Christian Medical and Dental Association has a group called the American Academy of Medical Ethics, and we have doctors in 48 states that are members who are fighting this at the state level. This is a state issue, because when they took it to the Supreme Court, they didn't win their case. So state by state, this is happening. And I remind them of this, Chris. It's God doesn't call us to win. He calls us to be faithful. And even if this is legalized, we still speak out against it. We try to limit it after it happens. And because what happens is there's a progression, and we're beginning to see in Oregon, for example, let's go for longer than not just 6 months before they think you're going to die, but a year, or it can be done more quicker. There's no waiting period, or we don't need to do, you know, they're just continuing to push the envelope to where this is legalized to make it more more common. So, I see us slowly losing ground, but at the same time, we need to fight it and speak for those that can't speak for themselves or are being pushed into this or making bad decisions on their own.
You know, Dr. Stevens, I think at the core of it, it's still a theological issue. It's still a biblical issue, because I'm probably oversimplifying it, but I feel like what we're saying is I'm going to play God. Like, I'm going to decide when a life should end. And fundamentally, even outside of Christianity, throughout human history, we have consistently, as the human race, they stood on the side of saying, we don't get to make that decision.
Right.
And do you agree with that perspective? Because I almost feel like, what right would I have as a physician to decide that somebody could end their life because they're suffering? It just seems like that's the opposite of what I should be doing as a physician. But for me, that's coming from a biblical value. So I think the eroding of biblical values in our culture must be adding to this.
Absolutely so. And biblical values are very clear. I mean, Genesis 1:26, human life is sacred because we're made in God's image. You can go over in Deuteronomy 32:39, God alone is sovereign over life and death. He said, there I put to death, I bring to life. David in Psalms talks about all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 19, talks about our bodies belonging to God, not to ourselves. Suicide is defined, if you look it up in the dictionary, as self-killing. And Exodus 20:13 says, thou shalt not kill. So, and the Bible teaches that human dignity is inherent, and it's not based on capabilities or quality of life. That's what the other side says. If the quality of life gets so bad, just get it over with. And the Bible says, no, we have inherent worth because we're made in God's image. And that helps us understand this issue and speak out on this issue, that and a belief that's been enshrined in Western medicine because of Christianity's influence for hundreds of years.
Well, I believe that God exists outside of space and time. So, right, he can see the future, right? We cannot. And I think that's the risk of helping people take their life, as we make an assumption about their end that we don't know. And I know there are exceptions, Dr. Stevens, but I've read stories of cases, people were in a coma for years and woke up. And I've wondered about family and friends of people who helped them commit suicide, really, if they have a regret that they lived with. It's not something I would want to live with.
Absolutely.
All right. We are with Dr. David Stevens on the Steve Noble Show. A very difficult subject, but when you talk about physician-assisted suicide, it's legal. It's legal in 10 states in America right now. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. This is the Steve Noble Show. Guest host Chris Connellan. That was really radio there. This is the Steve Noble Show. I feel like that guy that does all the movies or the sports thing.
Yeah, you know that one guy. That one guy.
He does all the... Yeah. Steve Noble Show is back, and this time it's mad. Well, we're here talking today with my daughter Olivia. Say hello.
Hello.
And pray for the Steve Noble family. They have lost a loved one, and that's why Steve is out. But today, we are blessed to have Dr. David Stevens talking about physician-assisted suicide. Dr. Stevens, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's great to be talking about this topic with you, Chris.
Well, it's just amazing to me when I look at the Hippocratic Oath. One of the parts of it I'm reading, and I don't know, I'm reading the classical version, I will neither give a deadly drug to anybody who asks for it, nor will I make a suggestion to this effect. Are physicians no longer taking the Hippocratic Oath?
No, I remember walking to the University of Michigan to speak to the CMD group on physician-assisted suicide, and there was a whole statue of Hippocrates there in the courtyard, and they had invited a lot of other students who weren't Christians to the meeting, which was great. But we had a lively debate about it, even though the oath was written right there in the middle of their schools. So, you know, I mentioned, Chris, that it's dangerous for physicians, dangerous for families. It's also dangerous for patients. The right to die will become the duty to die. And you say, oh, no, that couldn't happen. Well, think about that generation. My mom just passed away a few years ago, and I remember when I invited her to live with us. She was beginning to have physical problems, and she said to me, son, I don't want to be a burden, right?
Right.
That's what many people will think. And their ethicist already saying that there's a duty to die. I sat in an ethicist up here in Bristol, Tennessee, where our headquarters are over at ETSU, Dr. John Hartwig, and he says, you have a duty to die to get out of the way for younger generations. The other thing to remember why it's dangerous is because suffering precludes rational decision-making. When you're dealing with a serious disease, terminal disease, you don't oftentimes make rational decisions. That's why you need family around you. In fact, the Supreme Court said that a competent terminally ill patient seeking suicide is largely fiction, because suicide, by definition, if you're suicidal, you're not rational. People are depressed when they're terminally ill. And this doesn't stop with terminal illness. It moves to chronic illness and other things. And then what's the biggest problem in healthcare, Chris? It costs too much.
It costs too much. I was going to say but my daughter's next to me, and she constantly – we already burned through our Flex account. We're taking donations, Dr. Stevens, in case you
absolutely. Know. I mean, I have a wife with rheumatoid arthritis, and I know that how expensive.
Wow.
She's got one medicine, costs $1,300 a month.
Wow.
So this is an issue. But what's the cheapest form of health care? It's a handful of lethal pills.
Yeah.
So when Oregon actually legalized this, one of the insurance companies plotted it and said they welcomed broad coverage for physician-assisted suicide in a medical economic system already burdened. Somebody was asking on their Medicaid that they have their type program, there's only certain things that they'll pay for, and somebody asked for a drug that wasn't on the list, and they said no, they wouldn't authorize it, but they sent them information about physician-assisted suicide and said they would fund that.
You know, as crazy as it sounds, I feel like I'm reading news reports from the World War II with Nazi Germany and eugenics and euthanasia, and we look back and say, man, it was wrong to decide the value, who gets to live or die. Are medical schools, Dr. Stevens, now teaching about the moral viewpoint on this issue?
Many of them are not, and, you know, this is a personal decision, they'll say, between you and your patient, and so they don't, you know, most schools, we did a survey 20 years ago, and there were only a handful of medical schools still administering the Hippocratic Oath. So it's dangerous, and increasingly, medicine's moving to a business model. You know, that's why you hear the term providers instead of professionals. You refer to healthcare professionals as providers. That means you're like a vending machine. If patients want it, then you have an obligation to give it. And it's called, we call it the deprofessionalization of medicine. And there's a slippery slope. This doesn't stop with just physician-assisted suicide. We see this in Holland, where it started with a doctor who gave her mother a fatal injection back in the 70s. Because she was terminally ill, and they then authorized voluntary active euthanasia. They put 9 criteria down, similar to what we have here. It only 6 months to live, and 2 doctors agree, and a 2-week waiting period, and those type of things. But then they begin to do it for the chronically ill because they were going to suffer. And then they begin to do it for non-voluntary euthanasia. The patient couldn't give consent because they were comatose or they were demented. But obviously this would be good for them, so we need to do it. And then they started doing it for newborn babies with Down syndrome and other disabilities. And then a doctor did it for a patient with no physical illness at all. They just had mental suffering. And a 50-year-old divorced social worker whose husband had died, had abused her before he died, and then had a son that committed suicide, and she was depressed. And the doctor gave her a lethal medication, and it went to court, and they said, no, that's fine. How can we say mental suffering is any less than physical suffering? And so you see this progression. Once you say that death is a solution for suffering, then where do you draw the line, and how do you measure suffering?
For those who are medical professionals and they're in a place where they may have to face a situation like this, do they have a right of conscience in states where this is legal or states where it's not legal?
They still do today, but what is happening is incrementalism. And so what they're doing, since it's state-by-state issue, they're going slowly and getting it legalized, trying to get to the pour-over point where almost all states will be legalizing this, and then they begin to push the envelope for others to be involved and people to being forced to do it, like what's happened in Canada just north of us in the last 5 years. It's progressed very, very rapidly. They're now saying in Canada they're trying to put through a bill that will let liberated minors do it. In other words, not even 18 years of age, over their parents' objections.
No, you're kidding
me. If they're emancipated, if they're mature enough, they can make this decision if they're terminally ill.
Wow. My daughter just pointed out to me in Montana, there's no legal protocol for a case that came up in 2009 regarding this, and they're not even saying at what age. I'm fascinated. I'm not fascinated. I'm appalled. That's the word I should use, Dr. Stevens, about this issue. If somebody wanted to say, hey, how can I help in this area, whether they're a medical professional or not, I know they can go to cmda.org and be a part of this. What can they do to voice where they stand on this issue as a medical professional or just as a citizen?
I think first, educate yourself. Secondly, speak out. Start at your church. And this is a topic. We got so many bioethical issues just hitting us. And we could go and talk about them for hours, from human cloning to designer babies to transgender issues, you name it. We have on our website some very concise ethical statements. There are 2 to 3 pages that educate you biblically, spiritually, socially, medically on these issues. And you can go to cmda.org, go to the issues button, and you can download those. They're free and help educate you and help educate others. There's all kinds of resources there. Then you can begin speaking in your community, get involved in local politics, speak out when this comes up. It will in your state. And be willing to speak out against it and educate others, because it's very seductive. We're going to end your suffering, and here's just an insurance policy to do that. Get this lethal prescription. If it gets too bad, you have a way out.
Well, it sounds compassionate. I mean, it sounds like that's what the argument is, almost we're being compassionate. And I feel like that's a lot of the logic I'm hearing. Is that the logic that you hear?
That's it. We're the compassionate one. These other people are not. And, and then they confuse it with other aspects of medicine, like pulling the plug, that whole idea that you're discontinuing feudal medical care. And they say, well, this is no different. No, it is different. Because if you stop a respirator with the consent of the patient or the family, if the patient can't give consent, you are stopping a feudal intervention. There is no hope. The person is just, we're prolonging the dying here. The patient is not going to get better. But what kills the patient is the disease. Not the patient killing themselves or the doctor killing them with a lethal injection. There's a huge moral difference. But people try to confuse this and confuse people with it. And that's what's so dangerous about this, because people are getting convinced. And it goes on, all of this business about, I'm controlling my life. It's all about me. And what pervades our culture now.
Yeah, the individual choice. That's what's
everything,
right?
Individual choice.
Yeah, it's everything. And the thing that I look at, it, this to me takes our country down the track of the government deciding who lives or dies. It's, oh, that's alarmist. I'm like, no, actually, government tax dollars are involved in a lot of this. And a lot of the decision points, as you've already made, are going to come around that. I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to say, well, if you don't do this, you don't get tax dollars, or you don't get keep your medical license.
That's what's going to happen. And, a guy named H.L. Mencken said that there's always an easy solution to every problem: neat, plausible, and wrong. That's physician-assisted suicide.
Dr. Stevens, I can't thank you enough for your time. I want to encourage listeners to go to cmda.org, cmda.org, and find out more information. Donate, encourage, and pray for our medical professionals that they will practice medicine biblically. Dr. Stevens, before you go, anything else?
Well, it's great to be on your show, Chris, and thank you for what you're doing on this important issue.
Dr. Stevens, can't thank you enough for your time. It's been invaluable today. You've listened to the Steve Noble Show. Today's topic, physician-assisted suicide, it's wrong.